This week marks the 100th anniversary of iconic Canadian runner Johnny Miles' first Boston Marathon win. Born in Halifax, West Yorkshire, England, and raised in Sydney Mines, Miles captivated the world in 1926 by beating out Olympic and international runners to win the Boston Marathon at age 20. Miles won the marathon again 3 years later in 1929. Now on the centennial anniversary of his first win, I spoke with former journalist and amateur historian Greg Boone about the enduring legacy of Johnny Miles. Yeah, so we just wanted to chat a little bit about the history of Johnny Miles since the 100th anniversary actually just passed yesterday, and just wanted to talk to you a little bit about it. So for people who aren't super familiar, can you give us a little bit about the history of Johnny Miles?
Well, Johnny Miles was a boy miner. He was a grocery cart teamster, and he was a young 20-year-old who, in April 1926, shocked Boston and the world when he won the Boston Marathon. He lived near Sydney Mines and was a popular and very successful local and provincial runner at the time, and he moved on, and his father was able to train him to the point where he felt he was ready for the Boston Marathon. And so in 1926, they took a train journey to Boston, and the rest is history.
Yeah, for sure. And it's so amazing that this is a story that has endured and still is something that people talk about 100 years later. So can you give us kind of a sense of, you know, how and why this story of Johnny Miles has endured over these years?
Well, in 1926, he didn't just win the marathon. He shredded a previous record by at least 4 minutes, and he beat some of the top favorites in the race and some of the biggest names in international running, at least in that era. And that's not bad for a 20-year-old amateur runner who, again, as I said, made his name for himself locally and provincially. And he certainly captured the attention of not only the people of Cape Breton and Nova Scotia and Canadians. He also captured the attention of the people in New England, and he generally attracted significant attention as a winner of the race. And he was a relatively unknown runner, more so an amateur runner in some estimations. But he was celebrated throughout Boston, with special dinners and special events and appearances. The newsreels, the old film newsreels of the time, portrayed him as a hero. The newspapers portrayed him as a hero, in which he was, in a sense. And especially in times, the tough 20s, he sort of captured people's attention, and he gave people a chance to look at a local hero or a local person who did really well on the national and international scene as a runner.
Yeah. And I also kind of wanted to ask, you know, that as, you know, somebody who is seen as kind of a symbol, you know, what does this kind of tell us a little bit about, you know, ourselves and about the, you know, that spirit of Cape Breton?
Well, I think everyone, you know, in modern times and in the use of technology and social media, that a lot of information is shared on a regular basis, and we know we have real-time results. We can see events in real time, and whether, you know, any levels of professional sport get significant attention. But if you look at the time and the era where mass communication was generally, I don't want to say in its infancy, but it was in its early stages of broader development to share information and news, not only locally, but around the world. So he was a person who, you know, he had modest upbringing, and he attracted lots of local attention with his running skills and his talent as a runner. He trained under his father, who helped him get to the level he got to. And then, you know, he was a local person who attracted a lot of attention, and people would have seen him as a hero or even a role model in some ways. And I think the era helped, bring attention to something that was really positive. And over the years, he had success not only in 1926, but he also won the marathon in 1929. So that, and he went on to run in the Olympics and British Empire Games and other events in his running career. So I think people sometimes will gravitate to a figure or an event, and it's fortunate that it's endured. You know, we're looking at 100 years out, and his name is still quite popular among runners locally. And there are runners locally who have competed in the Boston Marathon this year and who have competed in previous years, who always and generally most often remember or honor Johnny Miles, especially this year's marathon, where there's a group who are honoring Johnny Miles because it's the 100th anniversary. So he captures the attention. It's just one of those good stories. And Johnny was a humble guy. I met him a few times over the years and spent time with him doing some lengthy interviews. And he was very humble with what he was able to achieve. And he was honored. He always said it was an honor to be recognized. But he said he was able to show that, you know, somebody from a small place could do something which was quite monumental at the time, and it still is pretty significant. I mean, running a marathon, I would assume, is a pretty tough and grueling, physical pursuit.
Absolutely.
And when you look at what he did as a relatively unknown young kid in April 1926, at the starting line, he was relatively unknown. And 2 hours, 25 minutes, and about 40 seconds later, he crossed the finish line, basically alone. He was ahead of at least two of the favorite runners of the time, Albert Stenroos and Clarence DeMar. And he became an instant hero in what he did. And it was a physical accomplishment and quite the feat at the time.
Absolutely. And you kind of touched on it a little bit there, but can you tell me a little bit about, you know, some of the ways that Johnny Miles has been honored over the years?
Well, he's had a number of local and provincial and regional and national awards and recognitions, and he always approached it from a humble point of view. He always kind of downplayed. He appreciated what recognitions he received, but he also downplayed it. He not that he didn't want the attention, but he always thought that what he did, there were other people doing things equally important or equally significant. And you know, it's an honor. You know, he's been honored many times at many different things. But on the ground, there's a statue in Sydney Mines. There's a gym at a school named after Johnny Miles. He's had a road race, a longtime road race in New Glasgow named after him. There have been local events in recognition. There's been a play about Johnny Miles. He name just resonates. As people get older, sometimes they may forget, but sometimes it's important to recognize some of these heroes, especially one from the mid-1920s who did something really special. And he inspires runners to this day locally. So it's pretty important, I think, that we remember him, at least on an anniversary like this, the anniversary of his win, first win 100 years later. It's pretty significant. The other thing is that his biographer, Floyd Williston, needs to get a lot of credit for how he's promoted Johnny over the years and how he captured Johnny's story in a biography, and how he and his family, the Williston family, kept Johnny's story alive and kept Johnny in the forefront when it came to running and when it came to sport history, which is pretty important. And, you know, Floyd has always said that and wrote that he came out of nowhere wearing 98 cent sneakers or shoes and took on the world's greatest. And, for that, I think, that says it all, in the sense of he captured everyone's interest. He captured the heart of Boston. He captured a lot of fans and family interest over the years. And it's you know, it's continued, and hopefully, you know, it would continue for another 100 years possibly, but it's, you know, you can't make those type of predictions boldly, I guess, but he, you know, obviously made a difference in encouraging and inspiring young runners and runners even 100 years later. There's runners who are running at Boston, especially from this area, who were inspired by what he did and are recognizing and remembering him at the same time as we recognize him.
Yeah, it's quite the impact and quite the legacy as well. Is there anything else you wanted to mention about either Johnny Miles or the legacy that has come from him?
Well, I just think it's again, he was a humble person. And, you know, he obviously knew at what success his level had reached. And, he, you know, he was quite pleased with what he had done, but he was also, you know, he stayed grounded, I think, over the years. And when I've met him a few times and interviewed him, he was always humble and grounded. And again, Floyd Williston, who was his biographer, the late Floyd Williston, always said that about Johnny. He always appreciated people's interest and people's recognition, but he stayed humble. And I think that's sometimes something that is a trait among many Cape Bretoners, that they can remain humble despite their success and despite accomplishments. And that in itself says a lot. But what he did in the level of running and sport was quite significant. And not only to win it once, but to win it twice. And hopefully his story continues to endure. And that's, you know, something I'll always remember, is that he became a sport legend. That I remember hearing his name when I was just a young kid. So, and then coming to meet him years later was a significant accomplishment, I think, and a significant feeling that I've met a local legend or a hero from the 1920s.
That was Greg Boone discussing the enduring legacy of Johnny Miles. For Coast 89.7 News and the Local Journalism Initiative, I'm Jacob Postlewaite.